Hello, and welcome to the Deep Spirituality Podcast. If you're just joining us, we are launching our first ever book written by our editor-in-chief, Russ Yule. And to celebrate the launch of our first book, which will be available on April 24th, we're going to take today's podcast episode to share with you a sneak preview of the audiobook titled, He's Not Who You Think He Is, Dropping Your Assumptions and Discovering God for Yourself. We will take some time to set up the segment for you, our listeners, and hear from the author himself. In chapter one, Russ, you begin the book by addressing unhealthy thoughts about God that we all accumulate. The first edition of the book was When God Isn't Attractive. This new edition was again renamed to He's Not Who You Think He Is, Dropping Your Assumptions and Discovering God for Yourself. In the beginning of this section, you quote A.W. Tozer, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. When God is unattractive, it is usually a result of our having unhealthy rather than healthy thoughts about Him. What were some of the assumptions about God that you have had to overcome either before you wrote the book or since the first edition came out to grow in your relationship with God, Russ?"
The answer to that question about assumptions starts with A.W. Tozer, and I read several of his books years and years before I began writing this book, and we began updating as the team at Deep Spirituality for the second edition. What A.W. Tozer taught me is what I had never heard in studying the Bible and learning about the Bible and going to church. And I was not a churchgoer. I didn't begin doing that till I was 19. And what he taught me is that my thoughts about God, along with another writer, Floyd McInnes, who wrote a book, The Father Heart of God, that my view of God is directly connected to my view of authority. And so I had a lot of thoughts about authority. One, I was comfortable with it because I was raised to respect authority, but I did not necessarily think authority was approachable. I did not necessarily think that you attach emotionally to authority. I felt like authority was there to punish me if something went wrong, if I did something wrong. And then as I became more of a churchgoer, I just transferred that into church and onto God. And it really took a lot of work for me to sort of break down that scaffolding and get down to, well, what does it really mean to have a relationship with God? So turning unhealthy thoughts into healthy ones is a chapter that helps anybody do what I did and am continuing to do, which is read the Bible to understand who God is, as opposed to reading the Bible with your assumptions about who God is. And that's a lifelong journey. And so that's why this chapter is such a powerful chapter and useful to get people started on changing their relationship with God.
With that, let's take a listen to the audiobook.
Turning unhealthy thoughts into healthy ones. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. A.W. Tozer. When God is unattractive, it is usually a result of our having unhealthy rather than healthy thoughts about Him. Here are some simple comparisons we can use to examine our own thoughts with regard to God. Check out this playlist of songs to help you turn unhealthy thoughts about God into healthy ones. 1. He cares for me. Moving from He hurts me to He helps me feel. Look and see. There is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Psalm 142, 4. Of the many false statements that have been made about God, the worst are those that lead people to believe He doesn't care. On occasion, well-meaning religious people, including myself, have underestimated the importance of helping others to understand that God's central motivation is love. Everything God does is ultimately a result of the fact that He cares for us. Many popular philosophers are eager to diminish God and very eager to diminish religion. They falsely lead people to believe that God is a clinical it rather than an emotional he. They speak of God as though He has no heart or soul, which leads people to believe He is incapable of love or care. The result of these misrepresentations is that it has become far too easy for people to believe that God would rather hurt than help. This is simply not true. The majority of pain in life is simply the result of time and chance. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. Ecclesiastes 9:11-12. If any spiritual force could be said to hurt us, it would be the spiritual force of darkness, the same one that was responsible for the pain in Job's life. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, Very well then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Job 1:9-12. Striking Job's life with pain was Satan's idea, not God's. It was Satan that caused negative things to happen to Job. Nevertheless, people said the pain was from God. Another messenger came and said, The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Job 1:16. God cares for us. He doesn't seek to hurt us. But at the same time, he does not exempt us from Satan's attacks or the natural events of life. What he does is help us so that we don't harden ourselves to the pain. This would turn off our hearts. He helps us feel rather than let us harden. Feeling is essential if we are to experience life at its fullest. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Ephesians 4:17-19. Without God, we tend to harden ourselves to the pain in our lives. If we are overwhelmed by disappointment, loss, or regret, we can grow distant from those we love as well as from God. Too often, anger, along with resentment and bitterness, takes over. Before long, we become hardened, and this hardness usually leads us to living life all alone. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Ecclesiastes 4:7-8. This is not God's plan for our lives. God cares. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Nahum 1:7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. When we are in pain, when we are hurting and feeling alone, we need to banish the unhealthy thought that God has hurt us. Instead, we need to embrace the healthy thought that He has helped us to feel. Even during the most difficult and painful adversity and suffering, the ability to feel is what ultimately prevents the destruction of hope, health, and relationships. A heart that remains soft and aware of its need for God attracts His power. It is this power which allows us to both endure and overcome even the most overwhelming odds. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. The goal is not merely to experience suffering, but with God's help, to fight and overcome it. This spirit to fight only exists in the hearts of those who know and trust they have a God on their side who cares for them. 2. He understands me. Moving from "He accuses me" to "He softens my heart." "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Ezekiel 36:25-27. Many first-time Bible readers have a tendency to believe that God is preoccupied with making them feel guilty. Even a number of us who are experienced Bible readers can sometimes react in this way. We may feel accused of doing something wrong or committing yet another sin. God is not nearly as focused on your record of wrongdoing as He is on the condition of our hearts. When it comes to sin, we might say that in God's eyes, awareness is health. Those who see their sins and seek His help end up with a soft heart and a changed life. Not only can God forgive, but He can make us new. After removing Saul, He made David their king. God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Acts 13:22. What made David such a significant figure in the Bible was that he understood that God wanted a relationship, not a performance. David knew that God was not as preoccupied with the sins he had committed as he was with how those sins had affected the relationship between the two of them. This relationship effect is an especially important point to consider when teaching our children about God. We should not diminish the seriousness or importance of dealing with the sin in our lives, but we should emphasize the correct goal. God is looking for a soft heart, not a perfect life. He is looking for a relationship connection, not a stage performance. God values our heart condition over our performance or behavior because He understands that what the heart loves and longs for, the heart will eventually do. In short, God understands us better than we can imagine. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. Isaiah 40:28. The next time we fail to live up to the rules and feel accused or overwhelmed with guilt, we must remember that God understands. He understands our discouragement and defeat, our regret and loss. He knows our feelings of loneliness and embarrassment and the burning desire to run from responsibility. He understands that we may be feeling completely alone. We should not run from him in fear, but run to him in relief and with a soft heart. That is what he has wanted all along, regardless of what Christian religious tradition may have taught us, and regardless of what our desire to perform may be tempting us to do. 3. He believes in me. Moving from he limits me to he gives me purpose. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Acts 26:13-14. After I decided to make God the top priority in my life and become a Christian, I began to feel limited. It seemed like everything I wanted to do was either a sin or a bad spiritual decision. I felt trapped and began to question my decision to live the Christian life. Around that time, I heard a sermon based on Revelation 3:14-16. The speaker explained that those who follow God fall into one of three categories: hot, cold, or lukewarm. Those who are considered lukewarm are on the fence. They won't fully commit to God or the world. These lukewarm people are the ones who hurt God the most. That's when I realized that God wasn't limiting me, but that my love for him was lukewarm. Like Paul, who kicked against the goads, I was kicking against God's word. It was only when I recognized that I was fighting God, not being limited by him, that I was able to open my eyes and see. Rather than limiting me, God was leading me to my destiny. He was trying to show me his purpose for my life. Since then, I have recognized that when I feel frustrated and limited, I need to stop and ask the question, where is God trying to lead me? The truth is that God does not limit me. Instead, he deeply believes in me. 4. He loves me. Moving from he wants a performance to he wants a relationship. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." Isaiah 29:13. Of all the unhealthy thoughts we can have, one of the most difficult ones to change is that God wants a performance rather than a relationship. The reason for this difficulty is that providing God with a performance merely requires a change of behavior. On the other hand, building a relationship with God requires a change of heart. Unfortunately, since we find it easier to change our behavior than the condition of our hearts, we choose to perform for God rather than seek a relationship with him. The problem with this type of thinking is that it underestimates the love and power of God. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Ezekiel 36:26-27. God loves us enough to change us. We simply need to focus on building a relationship with him rather than performing. How do we do this? The first step is deciding to seek a relationship with God rather than trying to be successful at Christianity. This leads to the next step, which is deriving our security from our intimacy with God rather than our sinless record. When we are most motivated by our desire for God and the degree of closeness in that relationship, we put aside the pursuit of perfection in favor of His unconditional love. This type of relationship-based thinking is contrasted with performance-based thinking in the chart in the accompanying PDF. Imagine the columns to determine where your strengths and weaknesses lie, so you can ask God to change your heart inclinations. Take a look at the different questions, so you can better understand how to move from performance-based to relationship-based thinking. Always remember that a performance-based relationship with God is dangerous because we will never understand or experience His unconditional love. We will never know the freedom of admitting our sins, experiencing forgiveness, and having the burden of guilt lifted from our consciences. In the end, we won't even enjoy Christianity because we will never feel that being ourselves is good enough. Performance-based Christians can never relax and will eventually burn out on God, church, and Christianity. Relationship-based Christians experience something completely different. The great advantage they enjoy is the certainty that God really loves them. Having invested in seeking, knowing, and understanding God's heart, they know that a relationship is His great desire. It is this desire for a relationship that drives God to care for, understand, and believe in us. He wants our heart, not our performance. Relationship-based Christians give God their heart. They understand that while we must take sin seriously, we must also remember that sin does not define who we are to God. Who we are to God is defined by the relationship our hearts have with His heart. What does this mean? It means we need to have loving answers to these questions. Do I like God? Do I want to be close to Him? Do I think about God throughout the day? Would I be satisfied if He never gave me another blessing beyond this relationship? Do I look forward to spending time with Him? Am I aware of and desirous of His presence and influence in my life? Is He as real to me as any human relationship? Can I relax with Him, trust Him, and enjoy Him? Until we can answer these questions positively and change our unhealthy thoughts to healthy ones, it will be difficult for us to find God attractive. Can it be done? Can we change our thoughts and feelings about God? Absolutely. People in the Bible did it all the time. We can transform our relationship with God if we, like them, will invest the time, effort, and energy. God can and will become more attractive to us. In our next chapter, we will tackle a subject that has made God unattractive to far too many people: religion. We will learn how religion can replace God, and why that can cause people to find Him unattractive. We will also learn what we can do to practice our faith in a way that restores God's attractiveness.
So that rounds out a small preview of our new book, He's Not Who You Think He Is, Dropping Your Assumptions and Discovering God for Yourself, is coming out soon on April 24th, 2023. You'll be able to buy it on Amazon for print, Kindle, or audiobook to read and hear more of this incredible book. Be sure to check it out and write an honest review to help us spread the word. You can also visit deepspirituality.com for links and additional resources for the book. We want to say a big thanks to Fleet Cooper for coming on board to record the audiobook, as well as the whole team here at Deep Spirituality to make this book possible. We'll have links in the show notes for all of this, so you can make sure to check it out. If you like what you're hearing, take a minute to rate and review the show. 5 stars would help us out a lot. And make sure to share about the show with your friends on Facebook or any other social media platforms. This is Deep Spirituality. We'll see you next time.